So our first Bible reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 45. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her."
Thanks, Loz. So far this year for Advent, the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at Christmas from the perspective of favour and the year of God's favour. And we're trying to understand something new and a bit amazing about God coming into the world, because we've all heard the story a lot of times. Most of us have probably heard the story a lot of times, and anything that we hear a lot, we become a bit hardened to. So I'm hoping what happens today is that by looking at it from a different perspective, we find something new and exciting to celebrate. So we're going to read through three passages from Luke. We've just had our first one, and we're going to trace the idea of favor from Jesus' birth right through to his adulthood. So that first passage you're probably pretty familiar with, but have you ever noticed all the mentions of favour in that passage? There's a couple of them. You might have overlooked it in the past, but it's interesting that since before Jesus was even born, it seems like he's bringing favour to the people around him. Mary encounters favour just by being the chosen one, the person chosen to be Jesus' mother. Elizabeth, later on in the passage, considers herself favoured just because Mary, who's carrying the unborn Jesus, visits Elizabeth, and then she kind of encounters this favour. And actually, before this passage, which we didn't read because it would be too long, Elizabeth is also considered favoured again because she's bearing John the Baptist, who would later on be the person to introduce Jesus. So you get this idea that anyone that Jesus kind of comes into encounter with, even remotely, is the recipient of favor. But it's not just favor it's not just favor and joy like a normal child is. Like, it's joyful when a new child is born, like when Kai is born, or Noah, or Theo, or Liam. It's really joyful when that happens. And there's favor to do with that. But Jesus' favor seems to be a bit different. It seems to be like this special or this amazing or this unique sort of favor. But we haven't figured out what favor is yet. So keep that question in mind for the next two readings. So with this next reading, we're actually jumping ahead in Jesus' life to after his birth, to when he's 12 years old. And we're still trying to figure out what favor is. So that's our big question for the day. So in this reading, we're still trying to figure out favor, but have a think about what you find unusual about the mention of favor in this passage. All right, Jez is is going to read from Luke chapter 2 for us.
Hey guys, today's reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him at the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Why were you searching for me?" he answered. "Didn't you know I had been in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Thanks, Jez. So that's an interesting part or an interesting passage to think about favor from. The thing that stood out to me as unusual about favor in that passage is that Jesus actually grows in favor. So at his birth, we saw Jesus brought favor to everyone that was around him. But here it kind of hints that Jesus himself is the one growing in or receiving favor. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but I haven't until I kind of paid attention to this passage. So favor, I think we can say it's not this object that we receive one time, but it kind of grows and it changes over time. And it's interesting that Jesus himself grows. So it's not only does Jesus give favor, but somehow he receives it from man and from God. So favor isn't just this thing given, but also received. And it's worthwhile noting that Jesus grows in favor, not just with humans, but with God also. So there's like an interesting dynamic in the relationship between God and with man and with Jesus and with God and with man and with Jesus. So putting all that together, we start to get this idea that favor is less tied to an object or even an action, but more tied to a relationship. And that's really interesting to think about. So try and keep those thoughts in mind when we read our final passage. In this last passage, so the third of three passages we're about to hear, we see Jesus now as an adult. And he speaks about the year of favor, which has been our theme for this Christmas. The passage should sound a little bit familiar because in it, Jesus quotes a passage from Isaiah that we looked at last week. So in this passage, I'd like you to keep an ear out for what the year of favor is like and try and imagine what it would be like to live in that period of the year of favor. All right, Sanj, let's go to the last reading.
Hi, today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
All right, so in chapter 4, we see Jesus starting to become well known for his teachings in the area he grew up in, but they probably don't really understand who he is just yet. So how does Jesus introduce himself to everyone around him? He reads the words of Isaiah, which we looked at last week. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of God's favor." So he says these words, which were written hundreds of years before he read them out. And he says that these words are actually about him. He is the one that the Spirit of God rests on. He's the one who's proclaiming freedom and restoring sight and declaring the year of God's favor. And that's a pretty big claim. He's the bringer of favor, of God's favor. The bringer of all these good things like freedom and like healing. So we've traced the idea of favor from Jesus' birth through to his adulthood. At his birth, we saw that everyone around him receives favor, even people remotely connected to him. It's something that Jesus seems to uniquely bring into the world. As a child, we saw him grow up in favor with man and with God. And we start to get this idea that maybe favor isn't just an object, but it's something closer to a relationship. But it was something that changed and something that grew. As an adult, he claims to be the one who will bring God's favor into the world. But what is it? So what is this thing called favor? We've read it over and over again today, and we've heard about it for the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks including this one. But it's hard to put your finger on. There's no single word. So we have favor dotted throughout these passages. The word translated into favor, there's no single word. It's actually a range of words that are translated into favor. And that kind of gives us an idea of how broad the idea of favor is. Sometimes it's got this idea of grace or blessing, and sometimes it's got this idea of So what is it? What is the thing that Jesus unleashes like a flood from his birth? It's hard to describe, as you can probably guess. But if we go back into the Old Testament, we find this really common phrase that's all throughout the Old Testament. It's, "If I have found favor in your eyes, then give me your blessing," or "then do as I ask," or "then don't kill me, don't punish me," whatever it is. It's just a phrase, but it gives us a picture of what favor is. And when you combine that with what we've picked up today about favor in these passages, we get the image that favor is when you look at someone and your heart's softened towards them. When you look at someone and you accept them. When you look at someone and everything between you and them is right and is okay. And favor, on top of that, is also the blessings that come out of that right relationship as well. So it means that we actually have a lot to celebrate with the coming of Jesus. The goodness that radiated out from Jesus didn't just start when he died. Like, as Christians, we focus a lot on when Jesus died and when he rose, and that's really important. But his work and his goodness and his blessings and all those kind of words, they don't start when he dies. They actually start way before that. They start the moment he was born. Jesus began to usher in the year of favor from his conception, before he was born even, while he was still in Mary's womb. He was ushering in this year where the whole world would be made acceptable in God's sight. And because they're acceptable, they would receive all the good things that a right relationship with God brings. The year where God would look down on his creation and he wouldn't look down in anger anymore, because of all the sin or all the brokenness of or how we've abused his creation, but he'd look down with a soft heart and he'd look down with acceptance. So that's the year of favor. And Jesus' birth was the beginning of that year, that God would pour out freedom and healing and acceptance. And a year not meaning 365 days, but a year meaning an era. A new epoch of time that was different from the time or the era that was just before it. A new era that would be marked by favor. And that's why Christmas, Jesus' birth, is actually a reason to celebrate. Because the day before Christmas, everyone lived in this era marked with fear and with uncertainty, and they weren't sure if they would get God's punishment or would they ever receive God's love and his blessing and all those sorts of things. They received bits of it before Jesus came, but the moment when Jesus came, all the fear and uncertainty was wiped away and the world entered a new era, the era of favor. And that's what we're living in right now, actually. We live in a time where God's favor is not just possible, but it's freely poured out. And it comes from the birth of Jesus. So when you go home, this Arvo, or to lunch or to wherever you're going, you have a real reason to celebrate. When you eat and drink at a massive feast this Arvo tonight with your family or with your friends or whoever, you can genuinely celebrate as a Christian because we know that we live in the year of favor. A year where forgiveness and rightness with God is possible and all the good things that come with that start to flow out. And right now we've been celebrating by eating and drinking and singing. But one of the funnest ways to celebrate is to give presents. So if you look at it from the perspective of favor, giving gifts is like a little representation of what it means. It's like a little representation of what Jesus' birth means, kind of encapsulated in one act. With the birth of Jesus, God flooded the world with the gift of favor, so much that it changed the world. So today we're excited to share with you just a little present. It's not much, but it represents something really meaningful. So inside the boxes here, there's lots of little things. It's just a little present. Don't get hyped up about it. But what it represents is something massive. It represents the year of favor. As we give gifts to each other, we're reminded of the massive, massive gift that God gave us through Jesus. On the top of the box, when you open it, you'll find a card in the box that has a Bible verse in it. And the Bible verse, I picked that Bible verse because it reminds us that it doesn't always feel like the year of favor, but as a Christian, we know it truly is. And if given enough time, God's favor will overrun the world. So I'd love you to keep the card that has the Bible verse in it somewhere you can see it. I assume you're not going to keep it forever. It's like printed at Office Works, right? It's not this like piece of art for you to keep forever. You can if you want. Not an original, like we were thinking about it, but not quite. It would have taken too long. She did too much work for like today already. But I'd love you to keep it for a little while, maybe just like until the new year or something. Somewhere you can see it, just to remind you that despite all the draining and crazy events that we've been through the past 2 years, and what's probably still to come in the next years, that despite all that, we actually live at a really special time. We're living in the year of favor. Okay, let's pray, and then we can share some presents, giving and receiving. Father, thank you for the gift of favor that's come through your Son. Thank you that through your Son, giving us your favor, we can experience things that we would never be able to experience otherwise. At times, the worries of the world seem to overcome the favor that comes from you, but we know that in time, and especially on the last day, that your favor will overrun the world, and the people that follow you will be the beneficiaries of that. So we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to persevere through hard times, to keep on following you, and we pray that we might be a blessing to others as you've blessed us. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.